not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And to comfort one another, that the blessed hope, the rapture, would be a great comfort to one another. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday evening show. We run for 2 hours, but we go more into the third hour too. If there's any spillover or maybe some more information, answer questions, have some prayer. So we could, you know, we could possibly go for 3 hours, but we haven't really done that. And anyways, I want to, let's check to see who is with me here, in the Uber conference room. And we do have Brother Dave. Dave is with us. So hello, Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
And how have you been?
Very busy, John. Very busy.
Okay. Well, hang on here because we're going to get you. I got to get over to 1 Corinthians. And I am right now at 1 Corinthians 15:51, if you would read those scriptures, please.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Oh, and you said you were busy this week, right?
Oh, yeah. John, every week I try to share my testimony with at least 10 people, at least, okay? And just today I talked to 5 people, just today, okay? So, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
Obviously, my testimony primarily has to do with prophecy, and people are very concerned about where the world is headed. Okay, and yeah, so I talked to a real estate agent. I talked to one guy from Spain. All sorts of people today. All sorts of people. So yeah, it's exciting, and they're very, very interested because everybody's concerned about where the world is headed. Nobody has a clue as to what's going to happen. So when you lay out an exact sequence of events that the Hebrew prophets foretold and that they see it's happening, they become interested.
Amen. Amen. All right. Speaking of interest, let's look at the blessed hope. The blessed hope is the rapture. The rapture is the blessed hope. That's Christ coming for us to take us to heaven. And we that are alive will get a glorified body, just like Jesus Christ. So the blessed hope is found in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Now, there's a series of scriptures that are all linked together. It's 11 through 15, but we're going to look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that is the blessed hope, Christ coming for us. And also, you can look at it another way, Dave. It's the groom coming for the bride.
Amen.
Because when Jesus Christ comes for us as the groom, where does he take us, Dave? Up into
now
heaven.
Now it's up at the Lamb.
There you go. There you go. So it's the groom coming for the bride. All right. So let's get over here now. Hang on here, Dave. I got to do a couple little things. All right. We're all set now. All right. So we usually start off this Sunday evening when we're going over the prophecy for the week or events. We'll say prophetic events or really extremely important events that happen. We always go to the Middle East first. And of course, the Middle East means Israel. And ground zero in Israel is Jerusalem. And the absolute dead center bullseye is the Temple Mount. How do you like that, Dave?
Exactly. It's like a dartboard, John.
Yeah, that's exactly. I should have said that. It's like a dartboard. Yeah, and so the black, you know, in darts, the dead center there is, it's big. It's not little pinpoint. It's big, right?
Exactly.
So you could fit like three or four darts if you threw them real good right at the in the black in the center. However, mm-hmm. There is a dead center, right?
It's very small.
Right, and that's what the Temple Mount is, right? Very small area. But as far as prophecy goes, that's dead center. All right, so do you want to start us off about what you have in store, Dave, for us, or what you've gleaned during the week?
Sure, John. Quite a few events happened this week. There's a report that Iran is getting 2,000 missiles together to shoot at Israel simultaneously, as opposed to 500 missiles over the last 12-day war. So they're talking about the fact that Israel and Iran could go at it relatively soon. Israel obviously does not want Iran to shoot these missiles at them all at once, so that's probably going to happen. Then in the West Bank, there was an outbreak of Jewish violence against, I think, a Palestinian town, and they either burnt down or desecrated a mosque, which is basically inflaming the situation. There's reports that Iran is just about completely out of order, and you mentioned, John, to me today that Iran is so desperate, they're trying to seed the clouds to create some rain.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Dave. Finish.
It's like the worst drought in like 60 years. They're talking about possibly evacuating Tehran and moving the capital to another location. So that's not going very well.
Yeah, Dave, I want to talk about that. Dave, we want to talk about that. Because
sure.
One city they've already evacuated, I don't know the name of it, but Tehran is the capital, and it's like 10 million people around it, 10, maybe 12 million. Dave, where do you move 10 million people, we'll say? Where do you move them from?
Well, the whole country is in drought, so you got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. This, folks, this is really serious about Iran. And Dave, also, they're seeding clouds now to try and make rain. They're really desperate. That's what they're trying to do.
They're probably praying to Allah, and it's not working.
But think of that, Dave. A city of 10 million. 10 million out of water. What do you do with 10 million people?
Well, I saw some stuff they're doing. They're starting to truck in water from other locations, whether it's other countries or whatever. But you're not going to be able to say it's not sustainable to do that. And I think Tehran right now, I don't think they're going to have water flowing at night, supposedly. Just during the day, and it's greatly reduced.
Now, Dave, did you pick up where the Iranians seized a tanker from the Marshall Islands? They seized it the Gulf of Hormuz, like right somewhere right there. I heard about it, but I have no idea why they did it, and really there's been no follow-up. So what do you have on them seizing that tanker?
Well, what's interesting, the Houthis were really involved, especially with the Red Sea. Not much has happened recently with the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz. They have the capabilities of shutting it down and creating global chaos. And the Houthis now supposedly are stopping any, actions in the Red Sea. So, but they have the capability of really causing great problems. Now, the Houthis were trying to stop ships going to Israel, okay? But Iran, you mentioned, John, before, I think they were the Marshall Islands that the tanker's from. So I have no idea why they're doing it. They didn't really explain in the article why they did it. They just say they did it. So maybe they're just trying to, intimidate the world, showing that they can create problems. It's hard to say.
Yeah, but Dave, why isn't the world really upset with this? I mean, they just hijacked a tanker and they brought it back to Iran, and you get a little blurb, in the news about it, and that's it. I mean, that's real serious, Dave.
Yeah, it was a paragraph with no comments.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah. Unusual.
Okay. Anything else, Dave?
Well, I think the big thing that's happening, I think tomorrow the United Nations is having a meeting talking about the situation in Gaza and possibly talking about a Palestinian state. And the United States is presenting their 21-point plan to reconstruct Gaza. And they're talking about, sending aid in there, special, troops trying to. I saw a video where I don't know where it was from, but all these payloaders and bulldozers are heading to Gaza. And I think the big reaction is going to be the entire world is going to get even more aggravated about what's happened in Gaza with Israel. And just in the last day or so, supposedly there was 3 days of really torrential rain in Gaza. The people living in tents, they're getting blown down. It is just increasing. And we know what Genesis 12:3 talks about. Obviously, it's very sad. The people in Gaza are not being blessed. And that's an understatement. They're not being blessed. So And we just documented the people in Iran are not being blessed. And gee, I wonder why the relationship with Israel and the creator of the universe gave Israel the land. They chose the Jews people. We know Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olives to defend Israel when the nations of the world gather against them. So, you know, God is a Zionist, like you talk about, John. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, that there's videos all over the internet where there's actually Baptist ministers talking about the fact that God has no plan for the nation of Israel. Now, to say, I'll be very nice about it, that they're theological Neanderthals, clueless, okay, completely ignoring God's covenant with Israel. We talked about it, you know, Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And Zechariah, his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. Why is he coming back? To vaporize Israel's enemies. So the people that are presenting this theological disaster are actually fulfilling prophecies in Zechariah, creating Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone. So for a Baptist minister to do this, they should go back to Bible school or read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and then turn on the TV, because Jerusalem and Judea is a burdensome stone now. And it's just very sad, John, very sad. And Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, the first thing Jesus talked about is take heed that no man deceive you. He didn't say the earthquakes were the first thing. Religious deception, part of this religious deception, John, very sad.
Well, Dave, the good news in this is me and Pastor Schwartz, maybe this week we're going to be starting a project of answering every type of conceivable attack or question about the modern state of Israel. So we've got a rough outline, and Dave Doe has about three shows. He puts on shows online, and his son is a real good tech man. He does it all. So he's going to
awesome.
Set this
That's
up.
Right.
So I would say, Dave, sometime early in 2026, we'll have this finished. And everything you can think of, Dave, every argument will be answered. Mm-hmm. Now, the one that is really, and you don't hear this, Dave, you mentioned it, which was a real good, I'm glad you mentioned it, but you mentioned Acts, you know, chapter 1, about the Lord ascending into heaven. So let's go over there and look at that, Acts chapter 1, if I can get there. All right, and we come down to, it's verse 12. It's verse 11. Well, let's put it in context, 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, that's the Lord, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood there steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then verse 12, and they returned, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So he ascended from the Mount of Olives there.
Exactly, John. And Zechariah talks about, yeah.
And then here, it says, the scripture says here, let me say it again, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then, as you were saying, Zechariah 14, Dave?
Well, yeah. Yeah. He's coming back, and in that day his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth his only son. And then when you read what the Lord's going to do, he's going to be vaporizing Israel's enemies, you know? So.
Yeah, I'll read that scripture.
We talk about it all the time. Yeah.
I'll read that scripture is in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 10. All right. Here we go. Come on. Well, it's actually verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against. Now tell me, Dave, fought against
Jerusalem.
There you go. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. So when the Lord returns, he is going to defend Jerusalem, Dave. And all the nations, they're going to be like vaporized by the Lord when he returns that have come to fight against Jerusalem. But
God, I want to make one more point.
I guess that's not real, Dave. I guess that's their imagination is more important than what the scripture says. You know, the ones that are denying the reality.
Now, one other thing I want to mention, if we were talking to somebody that had this particular view that current state of Israel has nothing to do with the, you know, the Bible and God's promises to the Jewish people, Daniel's 70 weeks. The 70th week, well, Daniel, the prophecy has to do with thy people and thy holy city. Who's Daniel's people? The Jewish people. The city, Jerusalem, okay?
You sure that's not about Rome, Dave? Could that be about Rome?
No, it's not about Rome. It's about Jerusalem. And Daniel's 70th week, okay, has to do with thy people and thy holy city. Daniel's 70th week is expanded in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11 talks about 1,260 days and 42 months, three and a half years. That's Daniel's 70th week. The abomination of desolation has to do with the temple in Jerusalem. So I have no idea what people are talking about, John. Theological lunacy.
All right.
Sad.
Dave, let's get over to the UN again. All right?
Sure.
And I'm looking at the Jerusalem Post here. And there are 21, I believe, proposals on the table from the United States.
Right.
So let's look at the one here. Okay, here it is. A clause in the draft resolution that sparked controversy is the one outlining a, quote, pathway to a Palestinian state, which we were just talking about. It states, right, quote, after the Palestinian Authority reform program is faithfully carried out and Gaza redevelopment has advanced, the conditions may finally be in place for a credible pathway to Palestinian self-determination and statehood. Now, there's big caveats in there, Dave. You know, if this and that, and which I don't think if they act the way they're laying this out, that's going to be sometime in the future. Who knows? 2 years, 3 years. This isn't going to last that long. This is so volatile now that they have preconditions to begin the Palestinian state. So this continues. The clause continues. The United States will establish a dialogue between Israel and the Palestinians to agree on a political horizon for peaceful and prosperous coexistence. And then the last one says here, it should be emphasized that this language is identical to that of President Trump's 20-point plan, included as an annex to the draft resolution. But the new development is that it has now been incorporated into the main text of the proposal itself, and not only in the annex. Yeah, so that's real bad, Dave. You know, that is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to go to get anywhere, because Hamas is even dragging its feet now, and there's terrorists that aren't going to surrender. And we're going to see what happens with Hezbollah. We're going to see what Iran does. Is Iran going to fire 2,000 missiles all at once at Israel? I mean, this is so volatile, Dave. But it is not good that this was put in there, Dave. This is not good that, you know, even Trump thinking about allowing the land of Israel to be divided up into a Palestinian state is really, really bad, Dave.
Yeah, John, the other problem, too, is the Palestinians, part of their initiative and proposal is they want to make East Jerusalem the capital of the Palestinian state. And we've talked about it recently that the Israeli Knesset in Section E1, just to the east of Jerusalem, is allowing the construction of 3,000 housing units, which will basically be make it impossible to create a Palestinian state. So just like you said, John, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay. But
right. It's
going to basically, it's not going to happen. We know that. There's not going to be a Palestinian state. But what's going to happen is international pressure is going to, Jerusalem's going to be the burdensome stone. Jerusalem and Judea. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, so
Dave,
we know it's going to, it's going to happen.
What I think is very telling in this, Jerusalem's not mentioned.
Right.
So how can they mention creating a Palestinian state without Jerusalem? Because the Palestinians won't accept the state without Jerusalem. And the Israelis are saying, forget it. Jerusalem's not on the table.
All right.
Exactly, John.
So there we go. Dave, here we are. The November 2025. And what's the UN meeting about? The Palestinian state, the land of Israel, the covenant land. Not meeting about Jerusalem right now. All right, this is Netanyahu's response. Despite efforts by Israel and other actors to change the wording, the current assessment is that the chances of doing so are slim. At the start of the weekly government meeting, Prime Minister Netanyahu made it clear that regard to a Palestinian state, our opposition to a Palestinian state or any territory west of the Jordan River remains firm and unchanged. Netanyahu added that he has been pushing back against such attempts for decades, facing pressure from both abroad and at home. I do not need encouragement tweets or lectures from anyone, he said. All right. So he's adamant. And I think that the vast amount of the Israeli government, anyways, is adamant also, Dave. Just the hard left there are for it in Israel, just like here. Before selling out America, that's the way the left is in Israel, Dave. Yeah, Dave.
Well, John, when you look at it's not going to happen, but if you look at the potential of it do happening, giving the West Bank completely to the Palestinians, connecting it to the Gaza Strip, you're cutting Israel in half at the narrowest, think, forgive me for laughing, I think Israel would be about 9 miles wide, okay? Surrounded by, you know, like we talked about, Hezbollah, Iran, Iraq, Hamas. And see, you're not going to be able to destroy Hamas. Hamas is a concept, not army, okay? These people are, you know, it's a religious goal for them to destroy Israel. When they chant from the river to the sea, they want to just eliminate Israel. It's that simple. And in order to do that, you're going to have to vaporize all the Jewish people in Israel. So, you know, the only solution we talk about is the second coming. That's it. And sad to say that Israel's enemies, when you look at what happened to Gaza, that's like a grain of sand on the beach compared to what Jesus is going to do to Israel's enemies when he comes back. Okay. You read it very clear, John. And it's sad. These people just don't get it. And when you think about it, it's going to be happening at the end of the 7 years. Well, what's happening in the first 1,260 days? The two witnesses are going to Jerusalem. The people that the testimony, and it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. So you can read what's going to happen. Then it's going to be on TV, and these people are going to still try to destroy Israel. And part of the prophecy is Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives and vaporize Israel's enemies, yet these enemies are still going to try to destroy Israel. After they see the testimony of the two witnesses, you get the point, John. I mean, like, oh, my God, how could they even think of doing anything? They should get down on their knees and repent, but they're not going to, which is incredibly sad, John.
Yeah, well, what can I say, Dave? They didn't believe the Lord when he walked on the earth, right? And he raised up how many people from the dead, and he healed all the people you can imagine, fed multitudes, and all of that, and they still didn't pay any attention to what he said. Well, John, when you think about it, but
the two witnesses are going to be resurrected from the dead on global television, ascend into heaven, and the people, you know, are still not going to figure it out. They're going to participate in the mark of the beast.
Yeah,
after
Dave,
they've been warned, you know?
Yeah. Dave, I want to get back into the UN because
sure.
It's really good information
sure.
to follow here. Netanyahu added that he has been pushing back against such attempts for decades. All right. And then the next paragraph says, during the government meeting, ministers criticized. Now, this is really good, this information, Dave. The prime minister over the decision. This was never part of the discussion at any stage, Trump said. Netanyahu attempted to justify the decision by claiming that no country was eager to join the multinational force in the Gaza Strip, meaning, he argued, that the clause was necessary in order to form such a force. So he's saying that if Gaza was going to become, you know, a Palestinian state, then the countries would be eager to join. On social media, ministers publicly attacked the move. Finance Minister Smutrich wrote on X 2 months ago, immediately after several countries announced their unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state, you, the Prime Minister, promised to respond decisively as soon as you returned from the United States. The deterioration we are now witnessing is dangerous. And it is your responsibility, because by your silence, formulate an appropriate response immediately. I remember that, Dave. I remember that, what that paragraph talked about. Netanyahu said after he came back from talking to Trump, you know, he was going to put out a decisive message about Israel's situation and not accepting a Palestinian state, which he didn't. And then that opened the door to put this clause in. The Likud minister Zohar also issued a statement saying, a normalization agreement with Saudi Arabia is a paramount Israeli interest and will change the future of the Middle East for generations. Of course, while preserving Israel's vital principles and without recognizing the Palestinian state that would endanger our security. So there it is, Dave. You know, Israel wants to have this relationship with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wants a Palestinian state. So I don't think this is really going anywhere, Dave. And the last sentence says, Israel as a security powerhouse, working alongside the Gulf powers, that is the greatest nightmare of Israel's enemies, he said. Well, it's very possible, Dave, that under the right circumstances, the Gulf powers are going to be your greatest enemies. Amen?
Oh, John, yeah, they're, obviously Muslims. They basically basically read the Quran. And, you know, when they say they want to make peace with Israel, they're kind of violating what the Quran says.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, what those people are, Dave, is like here we have Bible-believing people, and then we have, like, social Christians. So to a great extent, the not a full extent, but to a great extent, that's what's going on in Saudi Arabia, the kings, you know, and all of that. It's they have a very soft, relatively speaking, soft approach to the Quran, much different than Hamas and Hezbollah, because Hamas and Hezbollah, they're like literalists with the Quran, and that means no kings. If Hamas takes over, the government of Egypt is out the window, and they're going to put in a caliphate. That's their goal. And with that caliphate, they want to attack the world. So it's a mess it's never going to be straightened out until the Lord returns.
Amen, John. Amen. That's it.
All right. Anything else, Dave, that you have want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Israel.
All right.
Well, I think we covered most of it, John.
All right. Well, let me pick up what I have covered here.
Sure.
Now, this is interesting. They had a very, touching event in Jerusalem today. And it says, Charlie is gone, but the truth he fought for is not. Jerusalem remembers Charlie Kirk. So it was a group of American Christians with Israelis. And they all gathered in Jerusalem to honor Charlie Kirk, the U.S. conservative activist. Now, this is from the Jerusalem Post, the founder of Turning Point USA, who was murdered earlier this year. The memorial, attended by roughly 300 people, through Israeli officials, clergy, tourists, and longtime followers, who described Kirk as a rare public figure whose influences extended far beyond politics. Now, Dave, what I want to touch upon here is Charlie Kirk was a great supporter of Israel. And you've picked up on that, right?
Exactly, John. Yes.
But these, I'm going to call them lunatics now, that have gone insane. Their propaganda they're spewing is just like the Nazis in the 1930s. If you read the Nazi propaganda or read about it in the 1930s, you will hear that the whole world was going to be taken over by the Zionists. The Zionists, the Jews. And so Charlie Kirk is a big supporter of Israel. And he's also close with people like Tucker Carlson. And I don't know about, at one point, maybe Candace Owens, but also Alex Jones. And others like that. And now these people are raving Jew haters. Well, especially Israel haters. It'll come down to Jews too, but right now it's Israel. So Dave, they were trying to say after Charlie Kirk was murdered that he was about to renounce his contact with Israel. And he was like going to break contact because of how ugly the Jews were in Gaza to the children. And then some of them were actually coming out saying the Mossad was behind the assassination. Now, normally, you know, you'd say, oh, well, that's a small group of lunatics. But no, without any evidence, without anything, just saying these things. Dave, we're looking at a very dangerous time now in American history, because we've got the right wing here now, and I'll just say led by Alex Jones, And then you got the left, which loves Hamas, and they both hate Israel Day. And I could see them getting very, very close and maybe uniting over Israel and the Jews Day. I wouldn't have necessarily thought that, well, I'd say a year ago. No, after, before October 7th. That seems when all this stuff broke out, this Jew hating. But this is, it's serious now, Dave. They're making great inroads. And they have this guy, his name is Nick Fuentes. And they're, I hear them promoting him as the next Rush Limbaugh. And the guy is a rabid, I mean, he would fit right in with Goebbels as the propaganda ministry of the Nazis. This guy is a real Jew Israel hater. And they're promoting him now, Dave. So we are heading into a very, very dangerous time now with the, quote, right wing arising almost out of nowhere with his hatred for Israel. Any comments, Dave?
Well, John, Tucker Carlson has nonstop videos interviewing these people that hate, like you said, primarily focusing on what's going on with Israel. And they're very, very upset that the United States is participating in supporting Israel, primarily, economically, et cetera. They don't think we should have anything to do with Israel at all. And you know what's strange, John? These people are ignoring history. The Jewish people are probably the most persecuted group of people on planet Earth. They had the pogroms in Russia. Back in the 14th century, they had got expelled from Spain. The Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and, you know, they're surrounded by Muslim nations that their religious ideology is calling for the destruction of Israel. So you want to not support and protect the Jewish people in Israel? Oh, that's brilliant, John, brilliant. And I mentioned last week, Tucker Carlson is his middle name, Adolf. I mean, he's participating in infuriating the planet against the Jewish people in Israel.
He is.
You know, he says he's not anti-Semitic.
He is. Dave, you're absolutely right. And this is planned, like this is thought out. I watched him interview some historian from, was it Syracuse University? And this guy did everything but come short of endorsing Hitler on Tucker Carlson's show. And he was saying, well, you know, it might not have been 6 million. That's an exaggeration. Maybe it's 1 million. You know, so, but he put this guy on there, Dave, and it was like embarrassing what a ideologue this professor was. But if you had to pick the worst professor out there to interview to try and turn what Hitler did in the 30s and 40s there with the Jews, Tucker got him. I can't picture any professor worse than this guy. So this is propaganda on his part, but it's done it's like purposely. This professor, he was an abomination, as you know, like a history professor. He was an abomination, but that's the one Tucker picked to present to the public. So he knows full well what he's doing, and he's an ideologue. But what's the foundation of this Israel hating with him? You know, what, he's not by himself. He's running with others. So it's serious, Dave. This is serious. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, John. What do you call it? The younger people watch him. How many people that watch his podcast, but it's in the millions. And it's influenced a lot of the young people. I haven't seen too many easy protests on the college campuses this year, but in the past, you know, it's all over the news. And they have these massive marches, you know, pro-Palestinian marches with the flags and all this other stuff. It's just basically throwing gasoline on the fire and creating a big problem for Israel.
Yep. All right. Let's pick up now the mainstreaming of Jew hatred. Quote, from the among the ethno-nationalists, there are also disturbing echoes of Christian anti-Semitism that poisoned Europe for centuries. That's here. What you hear Carlson saying and Candace Owens saying and Alex Jones to some extent and others, yeah, that's right out of European, quote, Christian history, hatred of the Jews. The view that Christian Zionism is a modern heresy is gaining traction amongst Protestants and Catholics alike, putting into reverse the hetero ironclad support for Israel among American-based, by American, based upon the reverence of the Hebrew scriptures among evangelical Christians. This has all led to the frightening convergence. Left-wingers blame the Jews for capitalism. Right-wingers blame the Jews for liberalism and for denying the divinity of Jesus. Islamists blame the Jews for all the evils of the world. So left, right, and Islamists are now linked to each other, loathing the Jews. And that's come together really fast, Dave. Really, really fast. It would be, I could imagine it happening based on the scriptures and all, but it's really hard to imagine even a year ago of like the right wing here in America, Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and others kind of merging with their hatred of the Zionists like AOC and all these other hardcore leftists in the Democrat Party. But look how united they are over Israel and Jerusalem, Dave.
Exactly, John. Now, one thought, which is probably not going to happen, when you look about the graphic details about what happened October 7th, it's unimaginable. It's purely satanic, and it's a religious goal. They're just following what, you know, Allah said to do. Muhammad, you know, is behind the rock in the end times, you know, come and kill him. So they're basically just following their religious protocol. If Israel, you know, there's videos about what happens, you know what I'm saying? They should put together, you know, like a long segment with graphic videos about what these satanic lunatics did to the Jewish people. Maybe then people would say, hey, you know, gee, you know, I understand trying to defend themselves because they're, you know, has Hamas, the Houthis, Iran, you know, I don't know, you know, they're not going to do it, but I'm just saying, I think a while back, they invited some of the news media and did show them some of the graphic material about what happened. And it's reported that quite a few of these people in the news media actually just walked out because they couldn't take it. That's how bad it was, you know, John? So, you know, and then there's reports that, you know, Israel made up a lot of these things would happen. No, that's exactly what happened, John. It's horrible.
Yeah, Dave, it's, I mean, the propaganda wars are, it's like 1930s all over again with the Nazis. It's exactly like it, except nowadays, with the high tech they have and all the artificial intelligence and the media, you know, anybody back then, we'll take in Germany, you probably had three radio stations, but the Nazis controlled them all. So they controlled all the propaganda coming out. Now today, the hard left and all of that, they control a lot of the media, but we have free, that's why they're so desperate to shut down the open media we have here. But the propaganda is coming out. People that have big followings, like Alex Jones, he automatically has, I don't know how many people following him, Dave, a huge amount. Tucker Carlson, a huge amount. So when they start attacking Israel and the Zionist entity, as they call them, automatically you have like 10 million people listening, Dave. Now, not all of them are going to believe it, and some will probably drop off. But you have a big base there, Dave. That's pretty good to have a following of, you know, 10 million people that are Jew haters, Zionist haters, and all. In fact, I've coined a new phrase here. We have the Trump derangement syndrome. That's TDS. Now I call it ZDS, Zionist derangement syndrome, Dave. Yeah, Dave.
And that's very true, John. It is deranged, very deranged. And, you know, what's it said, Tucker Carlson, in part of his presentations, is basically quoting scripture, saying that, hey, you know, the Christians are God's chosen people. There's no plan in the scriptures for Israel. You know, and it, one verse, he the scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as its shepherd does his flock. Tucker, have you read Ezekiel chapter 37? The resurrection of Israel from the graveyard of the nations? You know, Tucker, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, the burdensome stone, that's what's happening in the United Nations. I mean, come on. You know,
Dave,
you say
they have
the
no excuse.
You don't believe the simplest thing it says.
Dave, they have no excuse.
Right.
This is willful on their part. They are willfully against the word of God. And Dave, there's curses sitting out there for people that do that. You know, Genesis 12:3, speaking to Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And then we come all the way to Obadiah, it's chapter 1, verse 15. The day of the Lord is near upon all heathen, Gentiles. As thou hast done to Israel, it shall be done unto thee. The reward shall be upon thine own head. So they're bringing curses on them, Dave. Curses on themselves for doing this. But Hitler tries to kill him and exterminate him. And the northern Jews, they're called Ashkenazis, northern European. A couple hundred thousand make it to Israel at the end of World War II. And then about a million are driven off the land from Morocco all the ways to Iran, and they were told to get out. They had 24 hours or they're going to kill them. So they were driven to Israel. So modern Israel was really the basis of it, population-wise, was the Sephardic Jews, the Mediterranean-looking Jews. So they're back in their land, and then 20 years later, Jerusalem becomes, Israel wins it, and it becomes the capital of Israel. And they speak Hebrew, which had been an extinct language. I did research on this, Dave. Somewhere around 300, Hebrew became an extinct language only for rituals. The rabbis would learn it for rituals. And now they speak Hebrew. They have shekels for money. And this has nothing to do with the Bible, Dave. Nothing. They probably go as far as to say these aren't real Jews. This is really bad rebellion against the Lord. There is no excuse for this, Dave. This is diabolical. Really diabolical. It's sad, Dave, to see people. I don't call this deception. Now, they are deceiving others. But Tucker Carlson and Jones, they fully know the truth, Dave. But they are putting out this propaganda because they hate Israel so much. They're willing to lie and lose their own soul while they're doing it. Yeah, Dave.
Very bad idea, John. Just like you said, in Genesis 12:3, you bless the Jewish people, you'll be blessed. You curse them, you're going to be cursed. God's judgment is going to come upon them. And the big thing is they are participating in fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, where Jerusalem, Judea will be a burdensome stone. and see all nations, includes the United States, John. All is all. So down the road, everyone on the earth is going to say, hey, you know, why don't we just get rid of, you know, like 10 million people in Israel? Let's get rid of them. They're creating so many problems. All nations are going to gather against Jerusalem, John. All.
Yep, Dave, all. And hopefully we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you think?
Amen, John. Amen.
Well, let me see. The mainstreaming of Jew hatred. Oh, this here, we're almost closed, finished, Dave, for the first hour, but this is very interesting. The mainstreaming of Jew hatred. Now, this is from the article. I read this already. I forgot it. But it's how they're merging, Dave. It's like astonishing to watch all this happen. Astonishing. We went into the drought, how severe it is, and they're on the verge of evacuating Tehran. But Dave, I'm speechless. How do you evacuate 10 million people?
Very difficult, John. Theoretically impossible. It would not go very well.
And the other thing here is Tucker Carlson did say, let me just quote him, the Christian Zionist program provides a worldview where the gospel is identified with the ideology of empire, colonialism, and militarism. Ah, that's just amazing. In its extreme form, it places an emphasis on apocalyptic events leading to the end of history, rather than living Christ's love and justice today. We categorically reject Christian Zionist doctrines as false teaching, corrupts the biblical message of love, justice, and reconciliation. No, that was not from Tucker Carlson. That was from the National Council of Churches of Christ. That was their statement. So they well know what we believe, Dave. Carlson just believes like that. All right, Dave. You have anything else here in closing?
Well, when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, there's not going to be any peace. You're actually praying for the second coming.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. And, we documented the creator of the universe is a Zionist. Okay. He's the landlord. He basically gave the land to the Jewish people. And he's going to be sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem and ruling with a rod of iron. So the people that are, how can we say, going against God's plan, they're going to have a big problem, John. Big problem.
Dave, do you have about 5 more minutes that you could stay?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
All right. I want to share something from Isaiah chapter 34, 1 through 8.
Okay.
All right. So this is judgment on the nations. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. So God wants everybody to pay attention to this message. Now look at this. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. The slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And the host of the, now look at this, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from a tree. So something, Dave, has God really angry here, right?
He seems very angry.
Right. And all the nations, his fury is against them, their armies, he's going to utterly destroy them. There's going to be mass slaughter and their bodies are going to stink. And then it touches the heavens. Verse 5. For the sword, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon all the people of my curse. Now that curse is in Obadiah, and that is the curse against Edom. That's what Idumea is. And anyone that acts like Edom coming against the Lord. It says that the sword is bathed in heaven. So it's established in heaven. And he's going to bring it down exactly like he's established it in heaven. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys and of rams. And of the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. So there's an analogy here of all the lambs and goats being killed for sacrifice. And that's what's going to happen with the land of Bozrah, which is Jordan. And then the verse 7 says, and the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks and the bulls. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. So the way I understand it, unicorns, bullocks, and bulls, and it says in their land, that's God's way of saying those that are in authority, kings and princes, they're gonna go also. Now verse 8 tells us what's the problem. For as the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Dave, that judgment where God is going to dissolve the heavens and roll it back like a scroll,
right?
That's over the Battle of Jerusalem, Dave.
Exactly, John. Yeah.
That whole thing I read to you, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Zion, Dave. Isn't that amazing? So coinciding.
Very clear, John.
Coinciding with that war over Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14, God shaking the whole universe over it. Dave, the whole universe over the Battle of Jerusalem.
Right. He's not going to be happy about it.
Yeah. So I like to tie Zechariah chapter 14 together with Isaiah 34, 1 through 8, Jerusalem. All right, Dave.
Little update on the shipping department. Well, good news, John. We've been getting requests. Let me see if I can give you all the countries. From Angola, Burundi, Brunei, Tanzania, Malawi, Ethiopia, Sudan, and Kenya. Okay? So I don't know how many that was. But to make a long story short, people are actually going to the USA Prophecy website, seeing some of the material, requesting material, but sad to say, we don't have funds to ship. So if you can participate in helping us, it would be greatly appreciated. We send them the last trumpet, the last shofar, John 666 track, the brokenhearted track, a Bible study on the typology of Joseph. The Ezekiel file talks about the rebirth of Israel. A CD, Jonathan Edwards sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And a little CD, we have a little interview we did on the last trumpet. And something on the barcodes and a little update on the last trumpet. So, it's a crash course in premillennial dispensational eschatology. So if you can help us, it would be greatly appreciated. So that's the story, John. So,
okay.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'll talk to you during the week. All right, John?
Yeah. Okay, Dave. Thank you for being here.
God bless. Sounds good.
All right. We're into the second hour. And let me take a check here to see who's here with me. All right. There's one person missing, and that is that I'm aware of. Let me see. You know, there's two. But, Sister Sharon, do I have your attention?
Yes, you sure do.
Where is Sister Kathy?
I really don't know, to be truthful with you. I know okay. There's a whole bunch of events going on all around the place, but I don't know what's going on in her area.
Okay, that's fine. I thought you might know.
No, I don't.
All right, so let's get into the second hour now. And what I like to do is get into the topic there of wars and rumors of wars from my blog. This is updating information from my blog, and there's some really serious stuff happening here. So let's take a look at one of the first things I want to bring out here. And I'm looking for it. Wow. It didn't post. I made a posting that didn't post. Well, I can do it off the top of my head. All right, what's happened now, this is very, very serious. There has been a civil explosion in Mexico City. And what happened is there was a popular mayor that was assassinated by the cartels. And I believe a very beloved journalist that was also assassinated. And the people are fed up with it because there are an incredible amount of murders and, well, assassinations taking place. And it's the cartels. And the cartels basically have the Mexican government. So there were huge riots now taking place in Mexico City against the government, and that it's under the control of the cartels. I mean, it was huge, really big. And the people were fighting with the police. There was, I don't know how many were shot, but so here's what the headline says. Mass riot explodes in Mexico City as thousands of furious young protesters fed up with cartel coddling leftist president storm presidential palace, leaving over 100 injured. So this could have legs, folks. Mexico might be in really big trouble. Like I say, the cartels have murdered some very, very significant people, and you know, nothing ever happens to them. In Mexico, like they have quite a few assassinations, and you never hear of anybody being arrested for it. So the police are involved. The Mexican government is involved in it. But there is a real uprising now. And it was huge that took place in Mexico City today. Also, I can't believe that. I made a whole posting and somehow it's gone. Even the date is wrong. I don't know what happened, folks. I'm shocked. A whole bunch of stuff that I posted is missing. Let me get back to it now. Now there's this fighting in the Ukraine with Russia. It's really, incredible. I mean, they have gone, it's something like World War One. In World War One, they went from no tanks to the end of tanks. They went to a lot of bolt action guns, and at the end it was machine guns. And then airplanes from 1914 really got more sophisticated, you know, by 1918. And then, of course, in the 20s and then 30s, the airplanes really developed. But so this has been going on for quite a while now, since the war in Ukraine started. And I keep on hearing it's just not true. I'm hearing things about Russia is surrounded this city in the Ukraine, and it's going to fall any day. The Ukrainian army is trapped, and they're going to lose tens of thousands of soldiers. Now, this has been going on regularly. So this came out probably about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Nothing happened, folks. Nothing. Russia hasn't taken the city. The Ukrainians haven't surrendered. It's just amazing that the disinformation that's thrown out over the Ukrainian and Russians fighting. So what is happening in this now, these drones and missiles are, they have gone, like I said, from the beginning of World War One to the end. That's the way we are now. So Russia will send a lot of missiles at Ukraine. The Ukrainians probably take out about 70% of them, but a third get through. And when the Russians fire so many missiles, they do a lot of damage. You know, when you get the 30% to go through. Now, with the Ukrainians, it's much more sophisticated. And what they're doing is they have contacts inside of Russia, and they load up trucks with drones and maybe the missiles also. And they get them real close to a site they're going to attack. And then they literally take the drones, you know, they let them loose from the truck. And these drones are attacking oil refineries. So right now, I think it's about the Ukrainians have taken out about 40% of the Russian oil supply. It's huge, folks. They have long lines in Russia for gas. Other problems are arising from the lack of oil in Russia now, because the Ukrainians have literally annihilated huge oil refineries. They're also attacking trains, big supply trains in Russia. They do the same thing with the drones and with the missiles. They load them up in the back of trucks and then let them go. They've been taking out huge trains, military trains. They've been taking out bridges. So this is nasty. It has been nasty from the beginning. The Russians are really showing tremendous weaknesses. They are being killed in huge numbers, huge numbers. They are doing tremendous damage to the Ukraine. And then the Ukraine has developed these sophisticated drones. I mean, really sophisticated, that are doing tremendous damage to Russia. So they're watching Russia. The military is watching Russia real closely, because it is close, folks. As I've been following this, Russia's close to a really big economic problem that could cause trying to overthrow Putin. So that's where it is in Russia and in the Ukraine. I don't post too much about the battles there, because, you know, I could post it today and believe it and then find out 3 weeks later it's not true. Tremendous disinformation about the Russians and Ukrainians going at it. Now, China has threatened to attack Japan, that if Japan comes to the aid of Taiwan, that China will attack Japan. So this is, I mean, with the way China said this and all, this is really serious. I have to believe that China knew what it was saying when it did this. And maybe the war is close when they make statements like this. But Japan is, of course, it's not the size of China. But everything Japan does is first class and highly, what would be the word? It's not junk, high quality. China is just the opposite. In fact, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but China just built this tremendous bridge, and it's like maybe 400 feet high. It spans a valley, and I think they went by meters, 700 meters, 2,100 feet long. Anyways, they didn't anchor it properly into the mountainside, the bridge, and it collapsed yesterday. About a third of the bridge collapsed. It's gone, and it hasn't been up for a year. All sorts of reports of buildings collapsing in China. Lots of roads collapsing. Anything with construction. The Chinese are the exact opposite of the Japanese. So I told you all that to tell you this. The Japanese military, although it's not nearly the size of China and all, its ships, its planes, anything they make, tanks and all, are very high quality. And their ships can do a lot of damage to the Chinese military. So Japan is really no one to fool around with. Their army was small, but top quality. Their electronics are top quality. Now, China is also coming behind Maduro of Venezuela. Apparently, China has a lot of strings attached here to the Venezuelan government. So what happens is China is telling Venezuela, look, basically, come under our authority, become a vassal of China, and we'll protect you. So Venezuela has to give up its sovereignty to China to be protected. I thought that was pretty clever. Now, Iran is also has its hooks in Venezuela, and so does Russia. But China is the big one. So I don't think that'll stop Trump if he's going to attack Venezuela. In my opinion, what Venezuela has been doing with the drugs coming here and also with their terrorist group they sent here, we are at war. I don't know how many of the drug deaths are responsible, you know, to Venezuela, but certainly tens of thousands a year are dying from the poison that Venezuela is sending here. Plus all that their drugs, their terrorist groups are doing here. Yeah, I think it is justified. This should have been done maybe 20 years ago. So I don't know what the current status is with Trump and Venezuela as far as war, because our fleet is there and the Air Force is there off the shores of Venezuela. Venezuela is threatening that it's got its army all ready to go and engage us. But I wish they could, I hope that we could take out their drug infrastructure. The whole country is a narc country, and we could take out their warehouses, their factories for it, maybe the banks, and we'll take that out and just break that, but, you know, do no more than that. And I think that that's what the president will do. But apparently he's close to making a decision. We have the aircraft carrier Gerald Ford there. It's the biggest ship in the world. It's offshore, and there are destroyers there, and I think some heavy cruisers. So that's a good size air force that sits on top of that that aircraft carrier for doing attacking Venezuela. But there we go. In my opinion, yes. To take out the whole narco infrastructure. Yes, no more. We can't do anything more than that, anyways. The country is way too big. All right. Let's see. Venezuela's president Maduro called on Latin American countries to proclaim the unconditional defense of our America as a peace zone as the U.S. continues its military campaign in the region. All right. I think that that just about covers everything, the update there. Putin has been launching some serious missiles. One is a submarine drone that goes very, very slow under the water, so it can't be detected. And it could come off like the coast of New York and launch this, explode this nuclear weapon that would send water like 10, 15 miles inland and destroy everything. They have these. They're threatening the British that they'll use these underwater drone to destroy Great Britain. So, folks, yeah, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that the Lord, it says, except the days were shortened, there'll be no flesh left. And you could see it. You know, man's mind is evil, folks. We because of the fall and the sin nature, we develop hatred, malice, anger, all of that in our minds. Envious, jealousy of another nation. But if Putin launched that against the United States, took out the East Coast, all right, we might be destroyed as a nation. But we have all this other equipment, all these submarines that fire. Each submarine fires like 20, maybe more. I think it's 200 missiles. Like each missile has five. In other words, it's not just one missile. Each missile they fire has five missiles within it. So it's multiplied. So those submarines fire like a hundred nuclear weapons. What do we have left here, folks, on Earth? What is it? You could see with man's sin nature and the tremendous knowledge that we have now, that this great knowledge, we'd use it to kill each other. So years ago, years and years and years ago, this, I don't think I mentioned this to you, but I, one of the first science fiction movie I watched was The Forbidden Planet. And on The Forbidden Planet, I don't know, 10,000 years ago, whatever it was, there was a group. The ones that lived on it were called the Krell, and they had developed super intelligence. And one day they ended up killing each other off. So as the plot in the movie goes, the Krell had advanced to where all they had to do is think of something, and it was done. So they found out in one day they destroyed themselves. And what happened was the producer of the movie had like a Christian belief system, and they put it into the Krell where the Krell thought evil. If the Krell thought evil of you for whatever reason, this power that was there in the planet would kill that person or that the other Krell. So they degenerated. Once they had that power, all they had to do was think and it was done. They ended up killing each other off because of the evilness. They didn't realize, the Krell did not realize they had this evil nature of hatred and war, and they had like suppressed it. And that was back in, I think that movie was 1956. And I recommend it, even though it's from 1956, it was the breakthrough in technology. Before 1956, the science fiction movies were pathetic by our standards. After the Forbidden Planet, they became, you know, we had like Star Trek and all of that, Star Wars, really high tech. But that movie brought out that the Krell destroyed themselves because in their subconscious they were evil. And that's the way we are now. We're right there now. AI is thrown into this. And you have all these missiles. Russia's supposed to have a missile that goes at 10,000 miles an hour, carries nuclear weapons, and there's no defense against it. China's doing all this. They're weaponizing space. But it's just a matter of time where we would kill each other off. In fact, there probably will be a nuclear war up in the near future. There probably will be, and a lot of people are going to die as a result of it. And man with his evil nature should have never built a nuclear bomb. Never. We're not able to handle that type of power because of the sin nature. So that's where we are now, folks. The potential for nuclear war and destroying certainly huge sections of the Earth are here now. Oh, they've been here for quite a while, but they're really, really, really sophisticated. Okay. Well, I'll just read you the headline. Putin unleashes marine missiles, the first time in terrifying strike. Putin's panic as NASA makes killer AI for hypersonic missiles capable of wiping out armies. Oh, there we go. There's another one, though, about Putin. So we apparently can use AI with our hypersonic missiles, and we can, like, instantly wipe out his armies. And there was more here about Russia setting off more missiles. So there's no doubt that these weapons are going to be used, folks. Man is not capable of this knowledge because of our sin nature. I want to go over to critically important things. I want to give you some good things here. We'll start off with very good things. Now, first one is, now don't tell me I lost this also. No, I didn't. Hundreds accept Christ at 6,000 worship Jesus at North Carolina. All glory to God. Now, virtually every week I am reporting to you about in colleges, there's huge things taking place on the college campuses. And it's week after week after week. So this is exciting. The Lord's doing a great work now on the college campuses. And hopefully this will be part of a big sweeping move of the Lord here in America. So I have a video of it. Let me get to it here so you can see it. No, it wouldn't let me in. Okay. All right, let me get it over so you can see it now. It's kind of dark, folks. I don't know if you could see it, and I don't think I can make this any bigger. Okay, this is NC State, and these are just pictures of some of the events on the college campuses. Oh, this is really neat. This is out in the street.
Hey, Clemson students, this is Head Coach Devers. Unite Clemson is coming to you on Tuesday the 18th at the Garrison Arena. I know it's going to be a great night of fellowship, and a lot of lives will be changed. Hope you'll come out.
This is baptism out in the street. That is really cool. That looks like a horse trough for a horse. And they fill it up with water out in the street, and then got people and they baptize them in there. This is all taking place in the college campuses. All over across the nation, these events are happening with the Lord now. And we'd like to see all the college campuses and real fire coming from it for the Lord, changing the whole atmosphere on these college campuses. Okay. All right. So I'm happy. There was nearly another, I think it was the University of Cincinnati, also had a big move of the Lord. No, that's not the right one. Hold on, Bo. Yeah, I'm back at the right one. All right, let me see about the University of Cincinnati. I just did NC State. Thousands turn to God at University of Cincinnati revival. 5,000 young people joined together to worship and praise Jesus on Wednesday night. And they said about 100 were baptized. Somewhere in the article it says that. And then many more came to the Lord. All right. So I wanted to give you that good news. Now, there's something here coming out of the Catholic Church. And I do follow the Catholic Church somewhat because I believe it's going to be an integral part of the Whore of Babylon, as it's described in Revelation chapter 17. So right now, the current Pope, Leo, is it? He's just come out and recognized transgenders and claim that they're holy and they're of God and all of this. So you could see how, I mean, it's a direct attack on marriage, direct attack on God creating us male and female and all of that. But that's another step. Things don't turn, they don't go good like with the Catholic Church, and not only with them, but these leftist denominations that have turned against the Lord. The same thing. You just never see it coming back, folks. They go down that road. They go down that road, they keep going on it, and they never seem to turn around. What does happen is you'll have a split. And one just happened with the Anglican Church, where basically the Anglican Church outside of Great Britain, because they're in Asia, they're in Africa, they split. They said, we can no longer follow you or be part of you because of your abominable doctrine. And that other group then just goes down that road, more wicked, more wicked, more wicked, no turning around. And I believe that group now are the ones that are heading into the tribulation period under what the Bible refers to as the Whore of Babylon. All right. Also, the Pentagon, the military here in America, is quietly putting together what they're calling a reaction force. So they're putting together, National Guards units, and they're going to be significantly stationed in various places in America. They're getting special training, special equipment, and let's say Chicago breaks bad and there's a battle in there and they're shooting at the police and ICE and Department of Homeland Security and all. Well, at a moment's notice, the quick reaction force that's in that area would pour into Chicago to bring it under control. So that's good in a way, but that's a bad sign, folks. That's a real bad sign. I mean, it's good that we're not caught flat foot and there's a ready, the military through the National Guard is ready to go. But I think, Trump has a pretty good idea that there could be a big uprising in one of these cities. and that they want the military ready, not to come in a week later and things are completely out of hand. But if it were to be breakout today, tomorrow, the National Guard could be in there bringing it under control. That's where we are. It's called, the Pentagon is establishing quick reaction forces in preparation for civil unrest. Now, they're not hiding this. I mean, the military is saying, yes, we're doing this because of potential unrest, and we want to bring it quickly under control. So the government isn't hiding this. Now, this is interesting. This headline says, Wisconsin town under advisory as illegal alien South American crime ring targets community. Now, they didn't say where this ring was from, but they know that it's like all of Wisconsin. They pick Wisconsin. They're looking to take houses out in cul-de-sacs. And they have all tools, like you get a tool bag to go in there and raid the house. So there's been all sorts of confirmed attacks now and burglarizing houses. How did they do this? Like everybody gets your own tool bag. And then with that tool bag, you know how to like maybe silently break a window to get in or open the jamb on a door to get in, the door jamb there. And they're all given the special tools to do it. They must have meeting places and all. So this is a really sophisticated, criminal group. Now, they don't give any details other than they're from South America. But that's why what Trump's doing is so important. That we get these all out. So, I mean, they're affecting a whole state now, the whole state of Wisconsin. I call them terrorists. There's a battle going on now between the media, and it's like Alex Jones and Tucker against the FBI. About the guy that assassinated or attempted to assassinate Trump. The first one that actually nicked Trump's ear. No matter what the FBI says, Kash Patel and Bongino and then Pam Bondi, you got to release this. The public has every right to know what went on here. And this stuff to say that he didn't have no contacts on the media and all. That's all nonsense. That's proven he does. It's proven. So there's something not right with this guy they claim assassinated Trump. Thomas Crooks is his name. I wish it would come out, folks. It's unsettling because I didn't trust, who could trust Biden's Secret Service? And Biden's FBI and Biden's Justice Department. But Trump should really be on top of this, pushing them. They tried to kill him. You know? Now, a lot has happened since he's taken office. I mean, a tremendous amount of FBI agents have been fired. And U.S. attorneys have been fired. So that's good. That's really good, but why isn't it all brought out about this guy, a lone killer? Well, you haven't produced anything to show that. So I don't want folks, us to get into the same distrust of Kash Patel, Bongino, and Pam Bondi that we had for Biden and that guy Ray and, Garland and Joe Biden and all of them, they were completely, totally untrustworthy. So why don't they bring this out about Thomas Crooks? As long as they don't bring this out, but why isn't Trump saying, I want a full report in 30 days? he's the president. They have to do it. But no, it's weird. This is really weird. In Chicago, not Chicago, in Colorado, they're calling it anti-Christian ideology spreads. City harasses pastors. So there's a city here at the epicenter of it in Colorado. It's called North Glen. And the police are really coming after. This reminds me of Bishop Reinhardt in India with the police coming to arrest him. Not him, but pastors under him. Because they were actually ministering Luke 4:18, the Bible. So here, the police informed the pastors, I think there's about five pastors, that they're shutting down their weekly gatherings. And these are meetings in churches. They liked what the church was doing in feeding the poor and all the street people. It says here, they liked what the churches were doing, but they couldn't do it in North Glen. The city's objection wasn't to the size of the gatherings or any actual disruption. Their objection was to who the churches were serving and why they were doing it, because of their religious convictions to follow Christ's command to serve the least of these. So the city didn't like that the churches were serving street people and poor, ministering to them. And they were going to arrest them with criminal charges. I think there was five churches involved. So there we go. We're very close, folks, in many, many states. Colorado is a nasty state against the Lord. Nasty. And the politicians and judges. And you've got other states also that are like that. So it's persecution is not far away, folks. If we don't have real strong power in Washington, these demagogues here in Colorado and Oregon and Washington, California, I mean, California is a big state, folks, population-wise. Now, this, and speaking about Washington, this is Seattle, an article from Seattle. Fresh food for everyone. New lady mayor goes full communist, demands control of private stores. This is the communist folks. You know, they think they have no concept of you have to work and produce, not just handed to you. So in communism, you know, everybody gets the same. Not everybody works the same. Not everybody has the mental capacity. So let's cover this article here. Democratic Seattle mayor-elect Katie Wilson declared that she will not allow private grocery stores to close in a resurfaced, she said this in a resurfaced video from September. Wilson said during her mayoral run that the corporate grocery chains should not be allowed to only sell food to those who can be afforded. See, this is all nonsense. And only afforded, well, that's where the church can come in and we should help others, not the government. Once the government starts forcing on this, folks, it's over. They're tyrants. They'll put people out of business. You know, businesses cannot operate in loss. They cannot, not for long anyways. And that's what they want here. And expressed support for a public option, meaning that government-run grocery stores should be established. A proposal emerged at a time when Democratic New York City Mayor-elect Zoran Mandani had promised to establish government-run grocery stores throughout the city. Now, in American history, and I don't know going back how far, but this has been tried in several cities in America, and they always run as a failure. These government-run food stores always have just destroyed themselves. Access to affordable health food is a basic right. So, but who says that the food stores have to provide it to people for free? That's not in the game. We cannot allow giant chains to stomp all our communities. You see, now the food stores, they post them as the enemies now. Close stores that will leave behind food deserts, Williams said. Well, maybe the food stores are leaving because so much food is being robbed out of it and stolen, and they're losing money and can't afford to be there. They try and make, if they were making money, they wouldn't leave. Together we can build a Seattle where fresh food is for everyone, not just those who can afford it. All right. There we go. Seattle's in big trouble, folks, for many reasons. And one is the government, communist government, are tampering with their food. Now, some good local news about me here in Texas. The headline, Texas AG Ken Paxton sues Harris County, that's the county I live in, for using over $1.3 million to defend criminal illegals from deportation. So the Attorney General of the state of Texas is taking on this county where I live, Harris County, and they're going to demand that Harris County refund, we'll say $1.4 million in taxpayer funds. So when a legal alien gets arrested in Harris County, the county is going to pay this illegal's law funds so that they can stay in America illegally, when the Texas government and the federal government are trying to remove these people because they are illegal aliens. Amazing. Amazing. I just found out about this a while back. I knew about it, but a while back. So here we are. I'm very happy that the state government is going to take on the county government here and force them to stop. And I don't know about what to do about the money they spent already, but it's just outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Now, I'll close with this here. The UK government says that that our First Amendment, American First Amendment, doesn't protect Americans from British censorship laws. So apparently, if we are doing something that's on the media in Great Britain, and it's against the British law, what we're saying, we can be held accountable for it as an American citizen. So you could see what they're trying to do. They're trying to shut down free speech. So we can, if we speak in America and it carries over to Great Britain, and we're talking about how horrible the British government is and what Muslims are doing all over the world, that's enough for us to be arrested under the British government laws. So how, under Biden, they could probably enforce that here. Then the FBI would probably arrest us and hand us over to the British. But we have a right to speak that here, and no law is broken. But you could see how the British government wants to get in to control the First Amendment here. That's probably all the New World Order. They are seething, they are loathing over the First Amendment here. And we're a real hindrance to them. All right, that should just about do it. I guess I don't see anything else. All right. So let me go over and see who's with me here. Any questions, any comments? And I do have a couple other articles I may want to mention on the other side from the show. Let's go over And Sister Kathy is here.
Yes, I am. I've been here the whole time, not on this. I always just listen on the computer when Dave's on.
Uh-huh.
And but I was listening. And so do you think that Iran, I mean, Ukraine is able to do all that high technical drone construction? You don't think somebody else is supplying it for them?
Well, you see, you brought up something really good or important here. Apparently, now look, when it comes to, Sister Kathy, when it comes to Ukraine and Russia, sometimes I don't want to report anything. Well, if there's a big oil refinery taken out 1,000 miles in Russia, you know, I report that.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I'm getting feedback, or you know, from the news, that the Ukraine is really advanced, mm-hmm. really advanced in their drones and the like, I guess you call them cruise missiles, because they've had to improvise to exist. I mean, one of their main weapons against the Russians are the drones. You know, they send out huge number of drones to identify Russian soldiers to kill them. The drones aren't for only taking tanks out and blowing up oil refineries. They also want to take the infantry out. So that's what the report is, that the number one maybe leaning drone technical people now are the Ukrainians.
Okay.
Well, and what they're doing, but I'm telling you with a caveat on it, you know? So what they do is they're spread out all over Russia, and they have these trucks that the top can open up, you know, like a canvas top.
Right, yeah.
And they've had like one truck, they had like, I think, 200 drones, and they set them off. They were all pre-programmed and all, and they like letting pigeons go.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have amazing evasive tactics. They can identify radar that is picking it up. They can take evasive measures all the way to they'll attack these oil refineries and that. Now, is it possible the United States gave them that technology? You know, sure it is, but that's what's coming out about Ukraine and the drones. They're like, Ukrainians are like geniuses now in making drones.
Well, that is interesting. Thank you.
Even so, come Lord Jesus, Sister Kathy.
Yes, amen for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, we have Suzanne with us. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Hi. Good evening.
Yes, I'm glad. Are you going to be a regular here on Sunday nights?
I usually am, unless we're the unusual out of town, which doesn't happen very often. But no, I usually am, but I don't always. I can't. If I have to get to bed early, you know, to have my physical therapy appointments and things like that, then I gotta quit sooner.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Anyway, so that's the story about that.
Any question or comments on the coverage that I gave?
Well, I did earlier, and I can't remember now what it was. So I should have written it down, but I was doing too many other things, and it left my head.
Okay.
So, but it was something that you said about something.
Well, that's getting close. That's
I can't
close.
Remember what it was. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Well, again, I'm glad you're calling. You called in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. And then we have Sister Rita here. And I know Sister Rita really likes Sundays. She gets a lot of information from it.
Yes. Yes. Hello, Chaplain. Actually, you're the only place I get my information from. So, but I really enjoy it. And I like you said, I say that I really enjoy Sunday nights because with all the information that I would not hear, I would not hear it because I have no other source but you. So thank you.
All right. I'm glad that you come and glean that information. I really do try my very best to make sure that it's credible and good information, because I don't want to. I want to develop a reputation that if people come to my blog, they can trust it. They can trust it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Now, I followed a tremendous news source from Israel. I can't remember the name right now. But I found out that, I don't know, 2 or 3 out of 10 wasn't reliable. And I had printed the article, which I thought was good. Then I had to follow up with like kind of retraction of it. So even though 7 were like outstanding, 7 out of the 10, I just could not, I couldn't trust it to post it. So I stopped following that site. Although, like I say, some of the information was maybe 2 weeks out before other sources picked it up, but it just was so unreliable, I dropped it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
And Paula Jean is at a church function.
I was just going to ask, literally, I was just going to ask. But Gigi and Randy, come on out. We know you're here.
Hello.
Come on.
Hello, John.
All right.
It's Randy.
I smoked you out.
Randy here. Randy.
Yeah.
Or South for sure.
No, Randy's good.
Okay.
Any question? Where is your sidekick?
I don't know. I think I fell asleep for a minute, and she isn't here, so I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
All right. I'm glad you're here. And any questions or comments?
No, I've listened intently to everything you said, and I don't have any questions or anything to add.
Well, what do you think, Randy, about this craziness trying to follow what's going on in the Ukraine?
Well, I think both Zelensky and Putin are both certifiably crazy, and that makes it pretty difficult, you know?
Well, I'm talking about all the misinformation that's given out about
that. Yeah, I know. We follow that. One day it says Putin's winning, and the next day it says Ukraine is winning.
Right, right.
And you know nobody is winning. So you know I don't know what causes that. But I guess in this day and age you don't have to prove what you say, and so you can say anything you want, and a lot of people will believe it. I guess that's the only thing. In terms of what's happening in Ukraine, there's this big political scandal of Zelensky's people.
Yes.
I don't know if that increases the chances of a peace settlement or makes it more distant. I don't know what that means, but it must have some effect of some kind.
Okay, Randy.
Oh, John?
Yes.
I have a new subject I think you'll want to cover.
Ooh.
And that is, we've been studying the feeding of the 5,000, which, the narrative on that appears in all 4 gospels, but in the gospels of Matthew and Mark, there's also the feeding of the 4,000, which is a totally different event. And the feeding of the 5,000 was feeding the Jews, but the feeding of the 4,000 is feeding of the Gentiles.
Oh, really?
So I just thought I just thought I might mention that to you. You might want to say something about it the next time we talk about John.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the reason I say John is that's where we've been picking up about 5,000. So maybe the Matthew and Mark story might fit in with that.
Okay. Thank you, Ren. Yeah, this
sure.
We'll be in John 7 on Thursday.
Right. Yeah. But I think mentioning that it was 4,000 Gentiles, that's the most Gentiles to be mentioned early in the Gospels, you know?
Yeah, because the Lord came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Well,
right. Thank you, Rin.
Sure.
All right. Now, Sharon?
Yes. I really enjoyed listening to everything tonight, and I really don't have any questions or any comments other than the fact that I really enjoyed hearing what was said.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to give a nice testimony.
Okay.
I spoke today at a church about 45 minutes from my house, and they used to meet on Wednesday nights, but they don't. Wednesday is open now. So anyways, they were talking about me. They knew I taught on Wednesday nights. So this is really cool, what I'm about to tell you. So the church decided that they're going to come Wednesday night. Well, not all the church, but they're going to come Wednesday night, and the ones that can come are going to watch streaming online. And it's spread amongst them that they provide dinner. So they're going to come. I don't know how many are going to come, but a significant amount. They're going to come to watch me teach on Wednesday night. So
awesome.
I told them this joke, what had happened on Saturdays and Sundays when they announced the schedule on Wednesday night. I'm teaching, but they also mentioned the first thing they mentioned is the dinner. And like last Wednesday was potluck, So she said, this is about 3 weeks ago, the woman reading the announcement goes, "Oh, and for dinner, you've got to come. You got to come Wednesday night because for dinner, so and so, he's the pastor's son. He's an excellent chef. He really is. And he's going to have this and this and this, and so and so is going to make her pies." So everybody come. And then she goes, oh, and then John will be speaking at 7 p.m. So I stood up. I don't know if I told you this or not, but I stood up in church and I said, yeah, you better come to hear me because I'm the dessert.
Well, there you go.
So I told that story this morning. And I had the whole church hysterical laughing. So, yeah. So when you come, I told them when you come, make sure you tell them you're coming here for the dessert. So
there you go.
All right. I have a call here.
That.
What's that, Sharon?
I said, I like that. When they come to the church, you're coming for dessert. I like that.
Yeah. Because there's good food on Wednesday night. There really is. But the dessert is better. The dessert is better.
We know what you meant. We know what you meant.
All right. We have someone here from area code 509. Hello? Area code.
Hi, John. This is David Beck. I've called before.
Yes, I remember.
My question is a technical one. I used to be able to watch you on Rumble, streaming with Rumble, but I can't get you that way anymore. I don't know if I missed the change that you made and how. How do I get you streamed?
Yeah,
other than my phone.
Sister Kathy, do you have that?
Yeah, if it's Chaplain John, Chaplain John McTernan dot CSBC Network.
So is this a Rumble channel?
No.
It's, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sister Kevin.
Well, it's just another network, another server, and we were having so much trouble with Rumble, the quality, and it wouldn't come on and all that. So this is CSBC Network, and it's really a good.
Let me grab a pencil so you can write this down.
All right.
Okay, it's John McTernan or Chaplain.
Chaplain John McTernan dot. If you don't put the dot there, I don't think it'll get on. And then the letters CSBCnetwork.com. And that goes right straight. Now, they do have the chat room there, too. And you'll see up at the top over somewhere around Amazing Grace, it'll have a little white banner-looking thing. And if you click that on, it'll bring up the chat.
Okay, let me just repeat this back to you. It's Chaplain McTernan.
No, Chaplain John McTernan.
Oh, John. Okay. McTernan. And then it's a dot.
Yep.
And then CSBC.com.
CSBCnetwork.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hope to see you.
Okay.
All right, great talking to you. Bye. Bye now.
But,
all right. Well, I don't know where we were. Oh, so I was telling you about Sunday this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that they're coming. And you remember Elvira, Sister Kathy and Sister Sharon?
Yep.
She's if that was the
yeah.
Church.
Yeah. So it's her and her husband's church is coming.
That's awesome.
I think most of them are going to be there online, you know, following through the website. So, all right. If there's anyone that wants to pray, we can pray now. Sister Sharon, do you have any need to pray?
I will definitely pray. So, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you so much for today. Thank you for this entire week that we just got through. And we know that tomorrow morning when we wake up, we will be starting a brand new week. And so, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you for all the information that was talked about tonight, and that we know that we are looking for the second coming of you, dear Father God. We are so excited knowing that you are going to be coming to take us home at any moment. And we know that we will never know when that moment is because you are the only one who does know. But I just want to say thank you for Abba Father International. I want to thank you for the ability to pray and to hear people's needs for prayer and stuff. And it's just so, so wonderful to be able to pray for people. And I'm just so glad that Kathy was able to give out the site information to this gentleman, and that hopefully he will be able to come in and listen through the new site information. And I just want to say thank you for everybody that's here. And I just also want to pray for Paula Jean. I pray that everything went well for what she had going on today. And for her brother, I know Paula Jean was busy with, I think Kathy said, with a lot of church stuff. And we also still want to pray for her brother, that he continues to improve his health. And we want to pray for everybody, for Gigi and Randy, for their health. And for Rita. And she always seems so cheerful and like nothing's ever wrong. So we still want to pray for her and for our sister Susie here down there in Illinois. Stuff there are just so many little minor details and problems that people have that we don't even think about continuing to pray for them. And dear Father, I just want to say thank you so much for someone finally getting a hold of Greg Patterson that really lifted my spirits and stuff to know that he is still amongst us and he might be having issues and stuff, but at least he was able to hear that, you know, we do care and we sincerely do care about him. And I just want to say thank you for him being a part of Abba Father and stuff. And I just pray that he will someday be able to come in and to talk and to pray with us. And dear Father God, I want to say thank you for what you're doing for my daughter Ariel and helping her get everything back in order. And it's just so important that she does, dear Father. And I want to just, there's just so much to pray about. It's just unbelievable, the stuff that we got to pray about. I want to pray for Israel and everybody overseas. I want to pray for all the Christians that are just being wiped out in different countries and churches. I read that since 2009 or something of that nature, 90,000 churches were wiped out in, I think, Nigeria. And I think, I don't know if that number is correct or not, but it was just a shock to read something like that. And so, dear Father God, just please, please help us get the word out about you and that your people know about you and that they are not afraid to ask questions and want to come to you. It is so important that we do talk to people. We get your message out, dear Father, and we just keep uplifting everybody. And I just thank you for that. And I also want to say thank you, Chaplain John, for all the work that he does to get us this information, to keep up his blog, and be getting ready to start teaching and preaching. And we just know that it's going to be another good week. And I also like to pray right now for Pastor Fred. I pray that he's able to join us tomorrow night and give us his teachings. It's always very, very wonderful to hear. And I just also want to say thank you to everybody who is part of this prayer ministry, anybody who's praying and praying for anybody who's in pain or in need of prayer. And I just say thank you, dear Father. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Suzanne, do you have anything you'd like to pray for?
Sure. Father, we are so grateful for the fact that you are our God. You are our one and only. There is no other. And I just pray, Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, in that you gave us the Holy Spirit. And Father, just help us to surrender everything and more, because Lord Jesus, you are the bridegroom and the king and judge. And so I just pray that you will reveal anything in our lives for me, Lord, in my life, that is not of you, that needs more surrendering. And we just pray for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And I especially pray, Father, for the children, whether in the womb, out of the womb, all the way through college, Father, that they will hunger and thirst for you. that they are guarded in their hearts. I know my oldest granddaughter or grandchild is a senior in high school and is applying for a lot of big universities. And I pray, Father, that she would be led to exactly where you want her to be, and that she will turn her heart to you, just as all these other college, high school kids and college kids, Father, that their hearts and junior high would be turned to you. And we thank you for your move of the Holy Spirit, how you are moving on the young people. And we just pray, Father, that they would be guarded also at the public schools, Lord, because not everybody can homeschool and not everybody can be in protected situations as much as possible. But we know, Lord God, that you can do the protecting and that you will remove people that are doing evil things to the children, Father, that you will put them away from their positions that they wouldn't be able to continue to harm. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Randy.
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. Did you want to pray? Do you want me to pray?
You pray.
Okay. So I always like to ask you, what would you like me to pray for?
Wow. Go ahead, pray, and then I'll tell you at the end.
Oh, okay. Lord Jesus, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise, and we're asking you to glorify your name throughout the whole earth. I woke up this morning saying to myself that you be glorified throughout the whole earth, and we know that you're going to be. And thank you so much for your word. Randy and I had a really good time studying your word this morning together. And it was very, very good. It's so nice to be helped with understanding as we study your word. And I just bow my heart before you. I humble myself before you. You are my God. And we are praying that for an outpouring all across our country and in all of these different places. And I include Mexico City, which is amazing that they're rioting there. But so much has been going on there for years. And it's been such a crime-ridden place all of these years. And just everywhere across this planet, there are cities like that that are totally crime-ridden, totally taken over by evil. And those are the places, too, Lord, that we pray that there would be an outpouring. And in Iran and all of these places that have really repressed Christians, put them in jail, murdered them. And we want to lift up Nigeria to you. We want to lift up Pastor Abel. Thank you. He's in a safer area. But we still want to pray for his protection and for the protection of the churches there. We want to lift up all of Abba Father Fellowship pastors in every country, in Tanzania and Kenya and Malawi and all over. Lord, we have pastors all over. Please encourage them. Please keep them safe. Please keep their churches and the people coming to the churches safe. And we continue to pray that there would be many, many more Muslims that would come to Christ, come out of Islam, and come to you, Jesus. And we pray a special prayer of protection on Evangelist John. Thank you that you restored him. Thank you that you rescued him, Lord. And we pray that you would really anoint him with more extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. And that many, many people will come to you, Lord. We pray for Pastor Jamil and Bishop Reinhardt and all the pastors all across that whole region. And we pray for an outpouring there, a big outpouring. We thank you for all of the things that have gone on, but we would like to see that in greater numbers. Whole people groups come to you like we saw the Cindys come to you. So that's what we're praying for, is whole people groups would come to you. And I want to lift up Chaplain John and Pastor Dove and this this information that they're going to be putting together as a Q&A, but also as just information, which will be wonderful. So we pray that you would have your hand on everything that they're doing. Please bless them and protect them and give them wonderful ideas to organize this. And we pray that that production will come out soon. We know it's 2026, but we pray it would be soon and that it would go far and wide and people would really start to understand the truth instead of all of these lies. It's a lying spirit that's going out at this time, Lord. And we pray mercy. We pray mercy on our country. We pray mercy on the Jewish people here. We pray mercy on Israel, and that you would lead and guide the leadership there, and that you would turn the hearts of your people that are there, that are even against their own country. And so we pray for a big outpouring there. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone that comes on and listens and prays and participates, that you would help each and every one of us. But you would also help them and the people that listen in the archives, like Jerry in Canada, and there's other people that come in later because they can't come in. So we just want to pray over them that you would protect them, that you would encourage them, that you would prompt them about the things that you're calling them to do, and that you would provide for them in every way. And I pray also for all of us that have family members that are not saved or friends that are not saved. And we cry out to you, Lord, this is the time and the time is short. So we're just praying for mercy on all these people. And many of us have been praying for years, years and years to no avail, but we're praying for mercy, Lord. And we're praying for those people that have heard the gospel and just won't respond or responded negatively, that you would put the fear of God in them and that you would convict them of sin, convict them of judgment, and convict them of Christ's righteousness, and that he is the only one that saves and he is the only one that will give eternal life. And so we just want to thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And then we have Rita.
Yes, Chaplain. Father, I give you thanks for my day. I give you thanks for today, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for all that you have provided and how you have taken care of me, Father. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would heal and also forgive America, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, that the government no longer is funding abortion. And Father, and I give you thanks that our tax dollars, they're no longer paid for the killing of babies, Father. Father, I pray that you would bring peace to Israel, and I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I pray for all the Jews, Father, that live in Israel, that they would repent and that they would come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And I also, Father, pray for the Jews that are in America, each and every one of them. I pray that you would open up their eyes to their sins, and that they will repent and come to know you and your son as their Savior, Father. Father, I pray for the House of Congress and the Senate. I pray for these men and women that you would convict their hearts to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray for the Christians that are in Congress and the Senate, will not be lukewarm towards you or your Son, but that they would love you and your Son more with each passing day, Father. And Father, I pray for the upcoming midterm elections that will be coming up, that more seats will be won by conservatives and God-fearing people, and that Congress and Senate will be controlled by the conservative and God-fearing politicians, Father. And Father, I give you thanks that that you the government has opened up, and I give you thanks for that, Father. And Father, I pray that President Trump would love you and your son more with each passing day. Bless his marriage, Father, and guide and direct President Trump in all that he does for America, Father. I pray, Father, also for Chaplain John, that you would bless him, guide and direct him in all that he writes and says, and that you would also comfort him and strengthen him, Father, and bless Nancy and his children, Father. And also I pray for everyone, Father, that is online tonight, that you would bless us, strengthen us, encourage us, and comfort us, Father. And I also pray that you would heal us, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then Sister Kathy.
Father, I just thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for the day that you have made for us to worship and praise you and set aside keeping it holy. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for all the people that are coming, the move in the youth, Lord. I thank you that the fake news and the left cannot deny that. It's up in their face, and it is true, and it is happening, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that I just agree with all the prayers tonight, and I thank you, thank you. I thank you for, I thank you that my son was able to get the microphone today, totally different than anything I was thinking about, but it sure worked good, and I pray for his foot, Lord, plantar fasciitis, and it is just so painful, and he has to walk 15,000 steps a day at his job. And I know that's quite a lot, and it's on hard, hard concrete, but just bless him and help him. Help all the people who are struggling with anything at all, and physically and emotionally and mentally and financially. And so we just pray your blessings where they are needed. And thank you for that. Thank you that you know, Father, exactly what a person is standing in need of. And we're just thanking you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. I do pray for Israel and Jerusalem and Netanyahu. And I pray for New York, Lord, with this mass exodus that is already happening and all the resignations that are coming in from various places. And Lord, that's just what they're wanting. That's just falling right into the plan they want. But Lord, I thank you for the people that are standing up and are going to say, God and me will get through this. And so we just thank you for that. I thank you for Chaplain John and his ministry and all the people that are helping him. Thank you. I would love to hear Lewis call in again, Lord. It was so good to know he was there and on the show, and we would just love to hear from him. And thank you for the gentleman that did call in and get the information. And I thank you that Chaplain will post this on his blog and on his website of the new address, because, Lord, we want the people upfront and personal, Lord, just getting all the goody. And thank you. Thank you. We pray for Larry. I agree with Rita's prayer about abortion. And I pray for Larry and his vigilers that are just so faithful. And we just thank you for everybody that is here on this line, Eve, and bless her and the girls, and Henry, Lord, with their little sniffles and allergies, help them, and help Bob in Vancouver, and Nana Debbie, and Twizzle, and Desmond. Help Desmond, Lord. He's going through some things that are just stressing and pressing on him, so help him. Lord, all the other people, Dave and Willie, Pastor Fred, Pastor Dove, and all of them, and just minister to the hearts and the needs of every person involved in Abba, Father. And we just give you praise, glory, honor, and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, everyone. Well, we had a blessed time today. Thank you for being here. And tomorrow morning we have prayer starting at 9. Starting at 10. I got to be careful. I can't use my time. Our standard, the gold standard is Eastern.
Yeah.
So.
Amen.
And then tomorrow night we almost always have Pastor Fred. He teaches us his Sunday sermon, which is good. It's really good preaching. He's excellent teacher of the word. And then after he finishes, we have prayer, the watch and pray for 1 hour. So God bless everybody. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
And thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and free from sin. We will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed